Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy! And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to hear Riley and I do blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Yeah, do it.
Do it. $3 a month.
Feed our family.
You can cut that out.
Nope.
Today's episode trigger warning is explicit sexual content.
And I have a TikTok comment, and this comes from Ohio Mama.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, Mamas. This is literally me. Instead of reading at night, I'm obsessed with listening on Spotify. I've got y'all going while I'm cleaning the house, mowing the lawn, on my way to pick my son up, or on my way to pick up my mom, if the kids aren't in the car, of course. I still have my physical books, but I honestly just love to smut up and listen. Cute.
Thank you.
Love that.
And I know at the end of last episode, we said we were going to be doing The Silver Lining by El Concepcion. Still hope I'm saying that right. But we had technical issues last week and we had to scrap the episode. So we will not be doing that episode this week. And we're really sorry. But if you want to check it out, it is on Kindle Unlimited. Go read it if you're into male werewolves.
Yeah.
And this week, we are telling Riley all about Flip by Brianna Michaels. And Riley has no idea, but this is book 2 of Glitch.
It's Glitch's second part?
No, it's his bestie.
Okay. Oh my God. If you guys haven't listened to the Glitch episode, you should, because it is very fucking funny.
Yeah.
It was like our second episode, so the audio quality is absolutely terrible, and I didn't know how to edit yet, but that episode is so fucking funny.
Yeah, you still laugh the whole time.
Yeah, it still makes me chuckle.
Okay, we start out with Trey finger-banging Aaron in the bathroom stall.
She's so swollen and needy. The squelching noises alone have me nearly blowing my load in my pants. And come in your pants.
This is page 1.
Damn. Right off the bat. Okay.
She has her third orgasm of the night and he helps stable her before demanding she cleans his fingers off. They fix themselves and Aaron says that they cannot keep doing this. She says that they need to get back to the table and to Glitch. So they're at a restaurant with Glitch doing this in the bathroom.
The mention of Glitch brings me to a stop. He's my best friend. He's also Aaron's brother. And I'm breaking bro code by sneaking off with Aaron like this.
So Glitch has no idea.
Would you be mad if your best friend hooked up with your sibling?
I mean, all my friends are 10 years older than my brother, so maybe a little bit.
That's fair.
I don't know. What a conflicting thing. I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. They've been sneaking around for over a year now, and she always says that they need to stop, but they just can't. She leaves the bathroom first, and by the time he makes it to the table, she told Glitch that she feels sick and left. Trey tries to stay put and enjoy his friend's engagement dinner, but ultimately, he has to go check on Aaron. Aaron is a single mom with no job and no life. She doesn't know why Trey would want her when he's funny and kind and the only guy that she's been with in the last 2 years. So she got recently fired, and she's just kind of hanging out looking for a new job.
And remember, her son's name is Beetle.
That's right.
Fucking weirdo. It's not his real name.
That's right. Hey, my name's Beetle.
I think it was because when he was a baby, he like got stuck on his back and Glitch was like, he looks like a beetle.
I think that's right. What it was too.
When she gets home, she changes into comfy clothes and right as she's about to grab a snack, Trey waltzes into her house. He has a huge paper bag full of food since she didn't actually get to eat dinner. They eat their food together and talk, and Trey is alluding to wanting to have more of a relationship, so naturally she starts panicking. She tells him that he needs to leave, even though it's also what she wants. And this bitch, this whole book, infuriating.
She's got a child to think about. Shelby's rolling her eyes into the back of her head.
He gives up the argument, knowing that he's not going to win, and he leaves. He barely makes it off the porch when she opens the door asking him to please stay the night with her. He says, okay, and they go inside where he kisses her against the wall. He breaks the kiss saying they need to finish dinner and she looks confused but says okay because it was a pretty hot steamy kiss and he's just like, we gotta eat.
Huh, okay. I want you filled to the brim, Aaron. Food and water first, then my dick. If I'm spending the night, I sure don't expect either of us to get any sleep. And for what I have planned, you're going to need all the energy you can get.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't really want to fuck on a full stomach.
No, I would rather do that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless I'm like shaking with hunger, then let's do the sex first and eat after.
Yeah, because it sounds like he's got a lot planned. Why would I want a full tummy for that? You're going to be bending me in positions. I'm going to fart.
For sure.
She says, well, okay then. And they head back to the table. But before she can take a seat, Trey stops her.
Not there, I say as Aaron goes to her chair. Here. I sit in my seat and tap my leg. I want you right here, my hungry little slut. Such a good girl. I grab a handful of her hair and tug it enough to make her lean back so I can kiss the pulse point on her throat. Reaching around her, I slide her plate over and move my own meal out of the way. Eat for me.
Okay. He's a feeder.
Yeah, he is. He's like, get fat. Get huge.
She stops moving and you wonder if he actually went too far this time. So he shoves his hand into her pants and tells her that each bite she takes, he'll make her more wet. So she starts eating her food. He fingers her as she eats. And when he thinks she's had enough, he pulls his fingers out and makes her clean them off and then puts her onto the table. I don't want to do that after I just ate. I don't want to lick my own juices off my fingers.
No, no. She probably didn't, like, gorge herself on food, but, like, I would just feel so, like, stuffed up.
Yeah, and, like, what if there's food stuck in my teeth?
Yeah, what if my breath smells like onion? Yeah. Where's Beetle, also?
Oh, he's at camp.
Okay, cool. Like, they're just doing this on the kitchen table. He's, like, in his room being like, what's that noise?
He eats her pussy as he makes her eat more. So he is just chowing down as she's stuffing her face with food.
All right.
When she screams his name, he shoves all the plates to the floor and rips her shirt up so he can suck on her titties and finger her. When she comes a second time, he helps her down to her knees and says it's time for her dessert.
I pull my cock out, and the instant it's free, I sigh with relief. It was starting to lose circulation in my pants. I see her eyes widen the instant she notices my new jewelry. Wow. Aaron traces her fingertips across the bars. There are 9 total, 1 for every inch. I'm dying to give her tonight.
Okay.
A 9-inch penis?
And 1 Jacob's Ladder piercing for each inch.
Jesus Christ.
That's a big dick.
That is a big dick. That seems excessive.
No wonder why he was losing circulation.
Yeah, it can't be contained.
Then she's giving him the Gluck Gluck 3000.
Gonna come so hard down your throat. I pump into her mouth, rocking my hips a little, forcing her to choke on me. Let me hear you gag. Aaron gurgles and slurps and chokes on me while drool drips off her chin and all over her chest. And probably some food chunks, too.
Yes. What if they had, like, chili or something gross like that? Yeah. She's just, like, burping up the essence.
Farting because she had beans.
Yeah.
He pulls her off his dick to jerk off onto her waiting tongue and chest. Then she licks her hands clean and he wishes that he brought damn condom. But he didn't want to presume that she was going to have sex with him tonight. They've only had sex 1 time in the last year and she tells him it's different now and then walks away to clean up.
What the fuck? 1 time?
Yeah. Damn. She doesn't live close.
Yeah. He lives like 2 hours away from her and they don't see each other very often.
Okay. That makes sense.
What she doesn't tell him is that the only thing different is now that her feelings for him are stronger, but she's not willing to share this anytime soon. She also starts self-deprecating and wonders how he even finds her attractive. She's a thick girl. She's got big old titties, a booty.
Yeah, she has like a C-section scar and stretch marks.
Girl, embrace it.
Yeah.
You are a woman.
Yeah, you are.
I am the man. I hate that song. I can't. I hate it.
They shower together and he finally wears her down a little bit. He's talking about taking her and Beetle out for dinner. She starts to try to kick him out of the house again, and he says, no chance. But he leaves the bathroom and goes and completely cleans up the mess. When she comes downstairs to see a clean living room and kitchen, she starts crying because she doesn't understand how Trey could possibly want to be with a single mom. He starts reassuring her and is super kind and tells her that for years now, she's been his favorite thing about visiting and everything in general. He really likes her and it's very sweet.
Cute.
They grab some more snacks and turn on the Ghostface marathon because she loves horror. and Erin falls asleep on the couch, so Trey carries her to bed before returning to the couch so he could sleep on it, because he doesn't want to presume he's a gentleman.
Love that.
Erin wakes up alone in the morning to a deep laughter, and she realizes that's Glitch's laugh, and Trey spent the night. She races downstairs, and Glitch tells Erin that her and Ara will be having a spa day today. She tries to name all the reasons why she can't, but the two men don't let her win. Trey and Glitch have wedding prep covered, and Ara will pick up Erin in 1 hour.
She's also very against self-care. Yeah. She just doesn't do anything for herself. And they're like, go to the spa. We got this under control. And she's like, well, I have so much to do. And they were like, girl, go get a massage.
Yeah, treat yourself.
She rushes to her room in a tantrum, and Trey checks on her while Glitch starts on the backyard. She lays into him about how he's controlling her life, and he says that he's just trying to spoil a woman he loves, and she screams at him to get the fuck out. And then she gets ready for the spa.
Good grief.
She's very up and down.
Yeah, if she even feels like she's losing control of a situation, she loses her shit.
I mean, I like kind of get that, but like, girl, let him be nice to you. Let him treat
you. Let him be nice.
But also, they're having a wedding at her house.
Oh.
And she's freaking out about the planning.
I'd be freaking the fuck out, too.
Yeah. So she has to, like, let go, let God with the planning to go get a massage, and it's freaking her out.
If a wedding was at my house, I'd be freaking the fuck out, too.
Mm-hmm.
Trey heads back outside to help Glitch, but he's blindsided when Glitch asks him how long something's been going on between the two of them. Trey immediately apologizes and tells him that it's been 2 years, but he loves her. Glitch is pretty upset, but says he kind of guessed it, and he also confirmed it because he drove by her house at 2 a.m. and saw Trey's car.
Oh, shit.
He's like just stalking his sister. Trey calls him a stalker, and Glitch just says he hopes they work out whatever just happened. At the spa, Erin and Ara are having a great time until Ara asks when the next step is for her and Trey, because they aren't fooling anyone and everybody knows that they're together.
Cute. So just give in, Erin. Give in.
Yeah.
She can't. She's scared.
Who cares?
But like, if it falls through, it's a whole thing because it's her brother's best friend. She has a kid.
They've been doing this for 2 years.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. 2 years.
It's low stakes. They're just fuck buddies.
They've only fucked one time.
They are finger blast buddies.
There you go.
Erin decides to open up to Ara about her fears of moving forward with Trey. Ara validates her fears because she grew up with a single mother, but tells her that it will not be worse knowing, so she should just take a chance and see where it goes.
And if it goes south, honey, the only thing going south will be his mouth and his dick. Yeah, honey.
Yeah, girl.
Erin is immediately embarrassed, and she tells Ara that he has a Jacob's ladder, and then she goes to her next spa treatment with Ara cackling in the background. After his long day of wedding prep, Trey meets Erin in the spa sauna. They finally have the what are we conversation. He says she's endgame for him. He wants every part of her, and she kisses him. He lays her on the bench undoing her towel and starts eating her out right there in the sauna. Then he picks her up to take her to a less sticky location.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'd be like, oh, my God, I got swamp pussy. Don't.
Yeah. And the air's all hot and muggy.
Yeah. And he's just between her legs. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pungent. Zesty. Yeah.
Zesty for sure. Tangy.
Yum.
He ends up taking her to a shower stall with a bench in it. He quickly undresses, and she's on her knees sucking his dick.
That's a good little slut. I grip her hair tighter and drive myself inward until I hit the back of her throat. Flatten your tongue for me. She's a vision with my dick in her mouth. Breathe through your nose, pretty whore. Erin's nostrils flare. Her eyes are deadlocked on mine. Her mouth still stuffed with my thick dick. She obeys beautifully. That's a good girl. My goodness. There's just somebody on the shower next to them being like, oh,
there is. God. There's a lady in the bathroom.
Oh, she's like, shit.
Can you guys stop?
Oh. Yeah. I would be so annoyed.
I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Go out to your car and do it in the parking lot like a normal person.
For real.
Fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
He comes in her mouth and then they get dressed and the girl in the bathroom tells them to maybe not do that there, which fair.
Yeah.
And then Erin ruins the moment, saying maybe they should just keep their relationship the way it is, as they literally just had a talk.
She's already annoying me. I'm pissed.
He drives her home and she talks to Beetle on the phone. She tells Beetle what a spa is, and he's happy that his mom is doing something for herself. And she feels like shit that even Beetle knows she never lets herself have anything. When she hangs up, Trey says he isn't wrong, and now she's back to being pissed off at Trey. She has a full-blown panic attack, now wondering what her life will look like with less of Glitch and how she truly will be alone. Because she's like a whole panic attack over Glitch marrying Aura and doing his own thing because it's been them for so long.
Yeah, because he helps a lot with Beetle.
Yeah, and stuff around the house.
She needs some like Lexapro therapy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure. Trey holds her, reminding her to breathe, and then they arrive at a hotel, not her house, because he wants to know where she wants to start on their night out. She says that she should maybe just go home. They aren't more than fuck buddies, and he tells her to just get to the hotel room and talk to him. She finally does and spills everything that she's been holding inside. He's patient and understanding, and she's a bit resentful of Glitch for getting every opportunity she never did because she also had to raise Glitch. So their parents died in a car accident when they were younger. So she raised Glitch, put him through college while putting her whole life on the back burner until she got pregnant.
Yeah, damn.
She also lets Trey know that she is incredibly proud of Glitch as well and that she wants him to be happy, but she doesn't want to be even lonelier than she is now. He asks what exactly she wants from him so he can try to help her, and she says that she just wants him, so he carries her to the bed and they undress. As he kisses down her body, he tells her how beautiful she is, and she wants to rub herself on his dick. He rolls them so she's straddling him and rubbing herself on his piercings.
That's my girl. Make yourself come and drench me. I grip her hips to help move her faster. That's right, baby. Take what you need. I want your cum dripping off my balls when you're finished.
After she comes, she tells him to get on a fucking condom because she is ready to go to Bonetown.
Bonetown.
Yeah.
Boneyard.
Die. She's ready to die.
That's a graveyard. Once that's on, he rolls her to her back and munches down, then collars her throat and fills her. He's huge and the piercings feel amazing. As he fucks the shit out of her, she thinks that she will give a relationship with him a chance. And then he flips her over, lifts her ass up, and spanks her. And she comes immediately.
I bet the next morning she's going to wake up and say, no, we can't.
We can't do this.
We're just fuck buddies.
Ugh.
She passes out after their little sexcapade, and Trey, again the gentleman, sleeps on the couch. The next morning at 10:30, she wakes up in a panic because it's the first time she slept in that late, and Beetle is supposed to be home at noon. Trey tells her that they need to eat something first, and he'll ensure that she's home before 12 so she can be there when Beetle's home. They eat, she hops in the shower, and he asks if she's sore. She says, not really, and he puts a condom on and hops in. They fuck hard and fast in the shower, and he lets her know exactly how wild she drives him.
I can't stop thinking about you, ever. Slam, slam, slam. And last night, while you slept, I wanted to jack off all over you and fuck you awake and stuff my dick in your mouth, your cunt, and your glorious ass.
I'd be very annoyed if that happened to me.
Yeah.
You do take your sleep quite seriously.
Oh, I am a sleeper. And if I wake up with a dick in my mouth?
Yeah, what the fuck? I'd bite it.
Yeah.
They both come and make it back to her house at 11:30. So she was worrying for nothing.
I think I would also be worried. I'd be like, I have to be home an hour before. Hour minimum.
Mm-hmm. I need time to stress about the fact that I'm barely on time.
Yeah.
So Glitch and Aura have their wedding ceremony with Trey and Aaron as their best man and maid of honor. They're both so happy for the new married couple, and neither of them have seen Glitch so filled with joy. As Aura gets pulled away for wedding party photos, Glitch is like, no, Aura, let's go bang instead. I want to make you purr, kitty. And Aaron is like, ew, fuck no, and walks away with her ears covered, completely grossed out, because that is her brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot how feral they are.
They are constantly fucking.
Yeah.
As the photos are being taken, the photographer makes sure to snag one of Trey, Aaron, and Beetle since Aura and Glitch ran off to go consummate their marriage. The photographer asks Beetle to go get his bike for a photo op because Glitch told him how good he is at trick shots and they'll look real fire in a tux. And now Aaron is spiraling, yelling that his tux will get all dirty if they do this, but Trey is already on his way to the garage to go grab it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And Trey's like, Aura wants to do a paint battle during the reception, so why are you freaking out about the clothes being ruined? So she's like, oh my God, fine. And the photographer takes Beetle to go capture some action shots. Also, very strange to want to have a paint fight at your wedding.
Aura loves some paint.
She's an artiste.
Then it's just Aaron and Trey, and he tells her how beautiful she looks and kisses her, but this just makes her feel super self-conscious. Trey senses this and is like, hey, Glitch already knows about us, so we don't need to hide. And for some reason, Aaron is still super torn about going official with him.
Come on, bitch.
He boops her on the nose and tells her to just let loose a little and walks off as she stares at his ass. Then Beetle comes running back to show his mom the photos he got on his bike, and they are cool as heck. The reception starts and the paint battle was more fun than Aaron thought it would be, but now it's finally time to wash off. As they head inside the house, Trey says he's gonna head to the guest bathroom to get all the paint off, but Aaron stops him, telling him no, he can use her bathroom. She's feeling frisky despite the fact that the party is still going on in the yard and Beetle is out there somewhere. They head to her room and she locks the door. They start to strip when they get into the bathroom, but Aaron catches a glimpse of herself in the mirror and she's looking pretty rough, covered in paint with smeared makeup, and she almost starts to rage when her dress won't come off, but then Trey grabs her around the waist and tells her he didn't tell her to take the dress off yet. I think she's just overstimulated. She needs a quiet room and a quick breather.
She really does.
Aaron is like, I'm about to go get some fucking scissors and cut it off my body right now. And she storms off to go grab a pair of scissors. And he snatches her up, brings her to the bed, and puts her over his knee. Then he unzips her dress effortlessly and pulls it off. And then he sees her shapewear. And he's like, why are you wearing this? And she tells him that it makes her feel sexy. He asks if she likes wearing it, and she says, no, not really. So he grabs the scissors and cuts it right up the middle. Like, from the crotch, right up the middle.
Whew. All right, all right.
He tells her she should only wear it if she wants to, not because she feels like she has to. He starts running his fingertips up her stomach, C-section scar, stretch marks and all, and then he tells her to get her sexy ass in the shower. When they're both squeaky clean, he commands her to put on an outfit that she loves to wear, but no underwear and no shoes. She has 1 minute to change and meet him in the hallway. She loves the bossiness and hurries to change into a blue sundress. And when she bursts out into the hallway with seconds to spare, Trey looks her up and down and is like, oh yeah, we love that.
Okay.
Men love a sundress.
They do. They do.
But as they're heading back outside to rejoin the party, he pulls her dress up and gets very stern, telling her that she's wearing panties when he specifically told her not to. He slides them down her body and she's like, I can't go out there like this. This is a wedding. And he says, you can and you will, you naughty little slut. Aaron is so into this little game that she's hoping she doesn't leave a puddle in her chair when they sit down. Somehow, they make it through the reception with Trey only fingering her under the table twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're wild.
Everyone in this book is wild. I wouldn't be able to focus. I wouldn't be able to participate in conversation.
No, your son's out there. Why are you getting finger blasted under the table?
Yeah.
At your brother's wedding.
You'd have to like think really hard to control your face too the whole time. Mm-hmm. You're getting finger banged.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
You better have some long tablecloth.
Yeah.
Aaron shares a cute little dance with Glitch. And I just put in parentheses, she's commando. Gross. And Trey sneaks off to play some catch with Beetle. They have a pretty cute little relationship.
Cute.
And Trey gets in his head about how he wants to be more than just his uncle's best friend. He wants to be a father figure to him. They plan on having dinner with the three of them, and then Trey is going to head back to his hotel for the night to give Aaron some space. But Beetle found out about the hotel and how it had a pool and begged both of them to head over there to swim, and they couldn't deny him. As they're playing pool basketball, Beetle gets a little too rowdy and winds up smashing his face straight into the concrete, and there's blood everywhere, and he has a chipped tooth.
Ugh.
Aaron is super cool, calm, and collected as she tends to him, making sure his nose isn't broken and none of his teeth are loose. And when it seems like he's just fine, she tells him she'll call the dentist in the morning. Trey, however, is internally freaking out as he watches this. Aaron says this is probably their cue to exit, but Trey wants to help and says he has an ice pack in his room and they can grab some medicine in the lobby. They can watch a movie in his room and see how Beetle's feeling afterward. Aaron thanks him and Beetle is just stoked to hang out in a hotel room for the first time ever. He has a very sheltered life because Aaron can't really give him a whole lot.
Yeah.
Before long, it's Monday morning and Aaron is getting Beetle ready for the dentist, wondering how she's going to go to the appointment, be at a job interview an hour later, drop him off at camp, and go to a second job interview. As they're rushing out the door, Glitch walks in, asking for a second to talk to Aaron. Beetle makes himself scarce, and Glitch tells her that now that he knows about her and Trey, he just wants to tell her not to hurt him. If she's just playing with him like a boy toy, to just cut things off. But if she has real feelings for him, she needs to get out of her head and give him a real shot. She gets defensive and tells him it's none of his business and to butt out. But he tells her that Trey loves her and he deserves to be more than just her dirty little secret while she strings him along for two more years.
Okay. Well, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron is simultaneously pissed and feeling super guilty because Glitch is right. But then Beetle walks in and is like, okay, I'm ready to go. Before they get in the car, Glitch tells her he'll take Beetle to camp if she needs, so she's not late for her second interview. And she's like, yeah, okay, thanks, and then drives off. Meanwhile, Trey is back home missing Aaron like crazy. So back home 2 hours away. He's hoping that this visit was different and she won't go all distant on him like she always does when he comes back here. But he's surprised to see a text from her letting him know that the dentist went well and she's about to head to her first interview. He wishes her luck and she just replies, thanks. He doesn't reply and neither does she. Since he's back at work, his boss pulls him aside to let him know that the designs he created for the upcoming video game they're releasing are a hit, and Trey is offered a promotion with a substantial pay raise, but it will require him to put in quite a few more hours in the office. So the main perk that he likes about his job is that he can do a lot of it remote.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling him, you get a fuck ton more money, but you have to do like 9 to 5 in the office, 5 days a week.
I would do that for a fuck ton more money.
Yeah. So there'd be no more working from home and much less freedom, but a shit ton more money. He says, thank you, I'll think on it. And his boss tells him he has until Friday. If he doesn't have an answer, the job will be offered to someone else. He agrees and then gets back to his desk. He checks his phone and Aaron texted him back telling him that the first interview was a bust and they couldn't offer her full time for 6 months, which means no health insurance. Also, Glitch stopped by and is taking Beetle to camp. Then a second one asking if she's being annoying. Then a third text asking about his meeting with his boss. And then a fourth one that says, holy shit, I am being annoying. I'm so sorry. Trey replies telling her he's sorry about her interview and glad that Glitch could take care of Beetle going to camp and that he'll tell her about the meeting later on tonight. He wants to tell her that he misses her, but he holds back.
Aaron, can't wait to hear about it. She then sends me a selfie of her in her car eating a burger. Aaron, not the meat I want, but it'll have to do. I laugh. Trey, what kind did you get? Aaron, a foot long, wink emoji. Trey, I only have 9 inches to feed that pretty mouth. Aaron, sighs. I miss it already. Trey, then I'll make sure you don't miss it for too long.
I only have 9 inches for you. I'm sorry.
Dang it, my small little peony.
She doesn't reply, so Trey goes about his workday as usual. He's in his head about this potential promotion. Should he do it, or should he follow his most recent dream of flipping houses? He won't be able to do both. So that's his little side gig that he wants to start. He wants to be a house flipper.
All right.
While he's at home, after a long day, he's sitting on his couch thinking about Aaron's sexy, sexy body and all of the things he wishes he could do to it when the woman herself calls him. He answers and is like, oh, hey, I was just thinking about you.
Oh, yeah? Thinking about how I'm turning into a bugaboo already? I'm shocked you haven't blocked me. I would never. I was actually thinking about how you're built to fuck. I'd be like, what's that mean? Elaborate.
They laugh and she tells him that her second interview was meh. The pay was shit, but she'd at least have benefits right away. But she has another interview at a real estate firm on Wednesday that she's got really high hopes for. Then she asks about his meeting and he tells her about how he was offered a promotion at his job and she's stoked for him. But he's like, eh, I don't know. It's not what I want to be doing, but the pay does make my dick hard. And she's like, lots of things make your dick hard. And he tells her, mostly just her. And she tells him to prove it. So he sends her a quick dick pic.
Ah, nice.
This escalates the conversation to be more of the steamy variety.
You're great for a man's ego. Well, they can be pretty fragile. Don't worry. I'll handle yours with care. Like you do when you take my cock in that pretty little mouth. She groans into my ear and I'm suddenly holding myself so hard I might just crack the case. Keep making those noises, little slut. I'll have to drive all the way back to gag you. Oh.
She calls his bluff and is like, yeah, okay, come over. And he grabs his keys and tells her he'll see her in 2 hours. When he pulls into her driveway, she's waiting at the door for him and pulls him in for a long kiss. And he tells her that if she asks for something, he'll make it happen. And Erin finally tells herself she's ready to make this real with Trey again.
Ugh, she better be for real.
They head inside quietly so as not to wake up Beetle, and when they get to her room, they tell one another how much they've missed the other, even though it's only been a day. Then he pulls her onto his lap to straddle him as he grabs her ass, telling her how much he loves it. He tells her to stand up, take off her pants, and show him what belongs to him. She obeys, and he's like, God damn, now take off your shirt and come sit on my face. So she does, but she's fully hovering, worried she's going to suffocate him.
That's my good little slut. The bed shifts and I look back to see he's lowering his pants to pull out his fat cock. Spread them. My legs are already spread. What's he want? For me to do a fucking split? Not happening. I mean, spread those pussy lips, baby. Oh my God. Is he serious? It feels vulgar and naughty to run my fingers between my folds and spread them apart. Like a fucking butterfly, he growls with satisfaction. With my forehead pressed against the wall by my headboard, my feet on either side of his head, my fingers keep my cunt wide open for him. I feel like a pinned butterfly, exposed and lovely. Lower that beautiful snack down on my face. I want a taste of what I've gone without all motherfucking day.
So he just wants her to hold her pussy lips open?
Yeah.
Okay.
He eats her out as he jerks himself off, and Erin is amazed at how good he is at this. She keeps peeking back at him to get a good look at his big old dick, and when she comes, he tells her to climb down and spit on his cock. She does, and then he tells her to put that pussy back on his face, but she wants some power too. So as she climbs back over his body, she hovers her titties over his face and tells him to suck first. He gladly does, and then she climbs further up until she's sitting on his face, not giving a fuck if he can breathe or not. After a few moments, she's like, wait, maybe he can't breathe. So she tries to sit up, but he holds her legs down until he comes and then taps her legs twice. And she gets up really quick and he's fully breathless. And she's like, oh my God, were you really suffocating? And he's like, yeah, it was awesome. She's bummed that she was facing the wrong way to watch him come. So he tells her to spin around and climb back on the womb broom.
The womb broom?
The womb broom. I don't think he has a mustache, but
I've never heard that before.
The womb broom?
Yeah.
Now you have.
Now I have.
And now they're doing a little 69 action.
Lower my meal down to my face, and when I tap you, put your tongue out for me. Huh? I tilt my ass down, and he wraps one arm around my lower back, locking me in place again. Enjoy the show, baby.
All right. 69.
He shoves his face into her pussy and starts chowing down while he jerks himself off. And when she feels the two taps, she sticks her tongue out and he comes all over it. Then he commands her to lick his dick clean. She goes to the bathroom and cleans herself up and thinks to herself that she feels simultaneously sexy and cherished. She gets back into the bed with him and they snuggle as he tells her how good she did. They doze off, but it's not long before Trey wakes her up and is like, I'm gonna head out. I don't want Beetle to come in here in the morning and catch us. She panics and is like, am I going to see you again? And he's like, relax. I just meant I'm going to go sleep on the couch. As he walks out of her room, he tells her he loves her and shuts the door.
Cute. I mean, it has been 2 fucking years, so I get it.
Yeah.
But as he's heading downstairs, he runs into Beetle, who's headed back to his own room after grabbing some water. Trey tries to play it cool and is like, hey, buddy. But Beetle is pissed and gives him the death stare and then storms off to his bedroom. Erin is already asleep, so he doesn't want to wake her up and stress her out. So he tells himself he'll just wake up early, fill Erin in, and they'll make a game plan together. But he oversleeps and wakes up after Beetle and Erin have already headed out the door to get him to camp. He doesn't know what to do, so he just twiddles his thumbs until she gets home, and he immediately knows that she's in a mood. So he's like, hey, so Beetle caught me coming downstairs last night, and she's like, oh yeah, I definitely already know. And Trey's like, okay, so what do we tell him? And Erin's like, well, I told him the truth. We're gonna try dating, and you tucked me in, and then you slept on the couch. But apparently, Beetle didn't even respond to her explanation, and she has no clue how he's feeling about this. Which I don't really understand why Beetle's being such a little dick about it, but...
Yeah, like you're already cool with him hanging out.
He's known him since he was like a baby. It's Glitch's best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get over it, Beetle, you little cock block. Trey says, well, he's probably feeling very protective of you. I'll talk to him when he gets home. But Aaron is like, no, he's my son. I will talk to him. And Trey's like, please, you can talk to him. Just let me do it first. I won't say anything that I shouldn't. And Aaron says she doesn't like this, but fine. They spend the day together doing some errands and yard work. And then Trey heads over to pick Beetle up from camp. And as soon as Beetle sees Trey, he is glaring at him. Beetle is like, where's my mom? But Trey tells him to come with him on a walk for a little bit. He wants to ask him something man to man, and surprisingly, Beetle doesn't resist. They find a bench to sit at, and Trey asks Beetle's permission to take Aaron out on a date. He tells Beetle that his mom is the most special woman in the whole world, and he wants to treat her as such. Beetle is still looking pissed and tells Trey that sometimes he catches his mom hiding in her room crying, and Trey promises to never be the person causing those tears. Beetle stands up and fully squares up to Trey, telling him that if he breaks his mom's heart, he'll beat Trey's ass. And I'm pretty sure Beetle's like 10.
Okay, Beetle.
And Trey's like 6'4", and he's like, I'll fucking kick your ass, bro.
All right, Beetle. Scary.
They head home and things are still tense, but definitely improving. They make a quick pit stop to grab two bouquets of flowers to bring home, one from each of them for Aaron. When they walk in the front door, Beetle runs to Aaron and gives her the flowers and a big ol' hug. And Trey tells her to go run herself a bath. He'll take care of dinner, and she is shocked. She's just staring at him like he grew an extra head, and he's like, go on. And when dinner's ready, we can all watch a movie. So she just stares at them both wide-eyed and heads upstairs for a little me time. It's now Wednesday and the morning of the job interview that Aaron was all excited about at the real estate firm. Trey is still staying with her, so he decides to calm her nerves by fucking her in the laundry room. When she won't be quiet enough, he takes a pair of panties and shoves them into her mouth.
Holy shit, he's gonna puncture my lungs with his dick. So fucking hot, he growls, taking my cock like this. Squeeze that pussy, baby. I want to feel you grip me. I clench my cunt and his breath punches out. Fuck yeah. Again, keep squeezing my cock. Milk it. Make me come. I pulse on demand for him. Wetness coats my inner thighs, lifting my ass up a little higher. I wish I could see what this looks like. Trey's arms bracket my shoulders, caging me in as he fucks me. I can't slide across the floor like this. I can't move much at all. Squeeze that pussy for me. All right. Kegel, kegel, kegel.
She decides to be a brat and doesn't do as she's told, so he puts a finger in her ass. And just when she's moaning from how good it feels, he pulls it out.
You like that? He does it again. Oh my God, how is it going in there so easily? My head's reeling. You're so fucking wet. I could shove my cock in your ass with how much cum you have dripping out of your pussy right now. You're soaked, slut. All right.
He puts his finger back in and then tells her to squeeze. And finally, she decides to listen and does the best Kegel she can.
I clench my inner walls, which also clenches my asshole, and I swear I pull him into me deeper. He fucks me and I clench him until our bodies both lock and go rigid. I come again when I feel his dick pulse inside me. That's my pretty little slut. Make me come. You feel that? Feel my dick throbbing inside you, stretching you, filling you? I nod my head and grind my ass against him. You like being fucked like a whore? I nod again. He loves to call names. He loves that. He's like, whore, slut, yes. Whore.
But he's very nice outside of the bedroom. He's like, you perfect little princess. When they've come down from their sex, he pulls off the condom and throws it in the nearby trash bin. Then she throws on her clothes and they go to the kitchen to have some coffee. Trey tells her he's meeting with his real estate agent this morning and asks if she wants to come, but she says, not really. She likes spending time together, but they don't really need to do everything together. And he's like, well, I'd like your opinion because I'm thinking of getting into house flipping. And he'd love her opinion since she's so into interior design. And that's what she would do if she had the time and the money to go back to school, is interior design.
Cute.
Which is funny because her house is like a dump.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. She tells him that she likes interior design and he looks around and he's like, really?
He's like, can't tell.
She's intrigued and agrees since it's only an hour away and she'd have time to go before her interview, but says they will be taking two separate cars because she wants to drive alone. Then she asks what he plans to actually do with the house and he tells her he'd live in it until he flipped it and then find a new place and do it all over again. And now she's seeing how unstable his life would be if he went through with this, and it really wouldn't work out if they were trying to have a legitimate relationship, especially with Beetle.
Why?
Because he'd be moving all over the place.
Yeah, to make money.
Yeah.
It's not steady.
She has a house.
She has a shack. Her house is not nice.
Why the fuck did they have a wedding at her house then?
That's what I was wondering. Maybe she has a great big backyard or something, but like her water heater's out. Her hot water in her shower lasts for like 30 seconds. Her couch has holes in it.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Her walls come back up a little bit, but she doesn't want to crush his dream, so she just keeps it to herself. When they get to the house, it's an absolute dump in Trey's opinion, but Aaron is gushing about how much potential it has. As they're doing the walkthrough, Trey's little brother Cole stops by, and he's an architect and is immediately smitten with Aaron. They make potential plans for the house and defer to Cole to make sure it's actually doable from a structural standpoint. And by the end of the tour, Cole is offering Aaron a job with him as a designer.
Damn.
Yeah, but he's in the Bay Area, so she'd have to move across the country to do it.
Oh, no.
She's shocked, but takes his card, and then Trey goes to walk Cole out to his car. His brother warns him against spreading himself too thin while trying to date this incredible woman who also has a kid. He doesn't want to see Trey fuck it up because he's trying to do too much. Trey heads back inside to check in with Aaron and winds up finger blasting her on the kitchen counter. Then it's time for Aaron to head to her interview. She's feeling really good about it, but when she walks into the building, she gets this odd feeling like it's not gonna go well. And when she sits down for the interview, none other than Stanley, her baby daddy, is the one who will be interviewing her.
What the fuck?
Uh-huh. And their history's fucked up. I think they had a hookup, a one-night stand type situation. She found out she was pregnant and she told him. And he was like, here's money, go get an abortion, don't talk to me again.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. As soon as he recognizes her, he stands up and says the position has already been filled. On the way out to her car, Stanley runs after her and accuses her of showing up to the interview to fuck with him. And she's like, no, asshole. I was actually interested in the job and I didn't even know you worked here. She tells him she never needed him and she never will. And we also learn that he's married to the daughter of the owner of the real estate firm. And Aaron is like, wow, what a shame it would be if you found out that not only did you reject someone who's more than qualified for the job, but that you also have a secret child with them. He begs her not to say anything, and she's feeling strong and confident in this encounter and walks away telling him to have the life he deserves.
Now call and tell on him. Do it.
Yeah, ruin his life.
For real.
By the time she gets home, she's fucking livid and walks into the house with tears in her eyes, carrying a baseball bat. Trey tries stopping her, asking her what the fuck is going on, but she just starts wailing on her broken water heater, screaming about how she fucking hates this house. Trey finally gets her to tell him what happened, and he's like, okay, let's go sit outside for a second and get some fresh air. After she cools down, she asks him to grab Beetle from camp this evening. She's going to the hardware store. She has money saved up, and she's gonna fix this dump. She can't stand the way it is anymore. And it sounds like she has quite a lot in savings that she never uses to do anything nice for her or her surroundings.
Yeah.
So she just lives in squalor because she feels like she has to.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she should wait till she has another job, but yeah, do it, girl. Do it.
She's having a menti bee. She's not herself right now.
Yeah, that's true.
As she's driving to the hardware store, it starts dumping rain and she begins to hydroplane and she gets into a wreck. After a while, Trey is sitting at home with Beetle and the two of them are getting really worried that she isn't home yet and they can't get a hold of her. Eventually, Glitch's car pulls into the driveway and a battered and bruised Aaron walks in the front door and she refused to go to the hospital. Oh. She just had too much to do. Too much on her plate.
Of course.
After she gets all settled in and everyone reluctantly stops demanding she goes to the emergency room, she tells Trey that she'll be without a car for a while and she hopes it won't put a strain on what they have going on right now. Because they're basically long distance at this point.
Yeah.
He says nothing would keep him away from her. And besides, he's been thinking, why doesn't he just hire her himself as the designer for his flipping gig? And she's like, well, that wouldn't give me insurance. And he tells her he'll pay her enough to pay for it herself. After giving him 1,000 reasons why this is a bad idea and him having a rebuttal for every single thing, she finally caves and says, okay, let's do it. It's 3 months later and the house Trey toured is being demoed and remodeled. Trey has put offers in on 2 other houses and this house is projected to give them a 6-figure profit.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Trey is working 4 days in the office and spends the other 3 with Aaron and Beetle. Every night they spend working on the house is ended by them banging somewhere inside of it.
My sledgehammer skills get you all hot and bothered, huh? You have no fucking clue. He sets me down and pulls my shirt over my head. Every time you bend over, I get a spectacular view of your ass, and your tits jiggle when your hammer hits home. How about if your hammer hits home right now? I fumble with his belt buckle and yank his pants down. I've been dying for your dick all day. Horny little rabbits.
As all get out.
Yes, horny.
He pushes her down to her knees and she starts playing with his balls and sucking his dick. But it's not long before he's pulling her up to her feet to fuck her against the wall of the kitchen. They exchange I love yous as he pounds into her. And then he pulls her over to the sliding door and fucks her against that next.
You like when I fuck your sweet cunt like this? He shoves into me and I gasp. Yes or no? Yes. Yes what? He pulls out and slams home again. Yes, sir. That's a good girl. My body heats with his words. Tucking my arm behind my back, I wiggle my fingers, giving him the signal that I want him to hold on to me. He laces his hands in mine and fucks me until I'm screaming his name. That's right, slut. Come all over my dick. I do. Twice. Damn.
I do.
I do.
When they're both spent and satisfied, it's time to head home, and Trey orders her to take a bath while he cooks dinner. She has a new water heater, so she can take all the baths she wants now. Eventually, he comes in and slides in behind her, and she tells him how perfectly they fit together. It's 1 year later, the whole family's together, it's Halloween, and Aaron has set up a pumpkin carving party.
She leans over and whispers, maybe after you're done rearranging your pumpkin's guts, you'll take me upstairs and rearrange mine. God, I love this woman. God.
Everyone is there too. Yeah. Glitch and Ara are there, Beatles sitting at the same table. Everyone's probably like, oh my God, stop.
We can hear you.
When everyone's done carving, Aaron takes the seeds to the kitchen to roast them, and Glitch, Ara, and Beetle all look at a very nervous Trey. Aaron slowly walks back into the room holding a ring that Trey had hidden in the bowl of pumpkin seeds, asking what the hell this is. Everyone turns their pumpkins around for the big reveal, and Beetle says, will you? Glitch says, marry me. And Ara says, yes or no. Aaron bursts into tears, walking over to Ara's pumpkin and carves a heart around the yes. Trey turns his pumpkin around and it says, I love you, Flip. He tells her she's Flip because she flips her shit, flips houses, and flips off anyone who pisses her off. That's why the book's called Flip. She's Flip.
Okay. Yeah.
Which once I got to this part, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that this book was called Flip. And yeah. I never wondered why, but that's why it's called Flip.
I thought it was because he was flipping houses.
No, she's Flip.
Yeah, she's Flip.
That's the name of the book.
Hey.
Then everyone leaves to give the happy new engaged couple a night alone.
So, Aaron says, tugging my hand, about that promise you made me. Promise? What promise? I let her lead me out of the dining room and up the stairs. The one about wearing the ghost face mask and making me scream while I come around your big dick. Yeah.
Trey pulls his shirt off and tells her he wants her screaming his name until all the neighbors know exactly who she belongs to. The end.
What a story. It's not no Glitch, I'll say that.
No. How many red pepper emojis do you give it?
I think 3. A good 3. Entertaining. Cutesy cutesy. But I think I liked Glitch way more.
Yeah, it was more entertaining.
Yeah.
It was low stakes, though, which I liked. There was no real third act breakup. Their whole relationship was basically a third act breakup.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like how, like, wishy-washy back and forth she was. But, I mean, you can't win them all. What did you guys think of the book?
I think I gave it a 3 as well. I needed her to make up her mind.
Yes.
I couldn't deal with it.
Yes, I agree.
I gave it a 4. It was a really easy, entertaining read.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it for me. I mean, she was pretty annoying, but like, she had to think of her child.
She did. She did. I just think she needs like an SSRI and
yeah,
like to talk to somebody and then she'd be great.
All right. So next week, we're telling Riley all about Salem by Crystal Daniels and Sandy Alvarez. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Fallen Ravens MC. Okay. It's got a rugged tattooed man on the cover. I'm fucking no. He looks bad, though.
You know what MC is, right?
No. Main character?
No. Fallen Ravens main character?
What's it mean?
It's a motorcycle club.
Oh, shit. Is it really?
Tis.
And I watched Sons of Anarchy. I should have known that.
You should have.
Okay, he is a bad boy then, because they're all bad fucking boys. They are.
Yeah, bad fucking boys.
Yeah, I think he's going to be brah, 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 around town. Sorry.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, he's going to be riding around town causing a ruckus. He's going to see this pretty girl on the side of the street. She's going to be outside of a store, one of her own stores, I think. And he's going to stop and talk to her. She's not going to know that he's in a motorcycle gang, or I shouldn't say gang. They don't like that. A motorcycle club. And they're going to like chit chat, but he is doing bad things around town and she doesn't know that. And they like get close to each other, really fall in love in cahoots. But then she somehow gets wrapped up into his like bad boy shenanigans, his motorcycle club dealings. And she doesn't like it. So they break up a little bit, but then they do get back together. How do I do?
What kind of store does she own?
I think it's going to be like a Tuesday morning store. Have you ever been in that store?
No, what's that?
It's like a mini Ross, but it's got knickknacks. She's a junk seller.
Okay. You didn't do too bad. I mean, obviously, we know he's in a motorcycle club.
Yeah.
She does own a business.
Holy fuck. Okay.
He is a shady man doing shady things around town.
He looks bad. He looks naughty.
He is naughty. He's a bad man.
He's a bad fucking man. Bad fucking boy.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode, and don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to hear the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I do blind reactions to Reddit erotica every Tuesday.
Yeah, do it.
Please check us out on Instagram @smutupandlistenpodcast.
Tell your friends, but not your mom, and we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.